Dave Brown from Fangraphs.com joins us. Dave, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Doing outstanding, Dave. Lots of wheeling and dealing. So give me the latest on Leicester Watch.
The latest on Leicester Watch, we heard an interview. Everybody who is listening to MLB.com radio heard Bobby Evans, the Giants assistant GM, say basically he thinks his team is kind of in the back seat now, not the front seat, not the driver's seat with Leicester. And apparently that means that the Chicago Cubs are leading right now. Yesterday, Ken Rosenthal reported that the Cubs and the Giants were the only two teams really that were left in the Leicester bidding. And now it appears, anyway, that unless there's an unforeseen change, that it's just a matter of the Cubs and Leicester agreeing on a number. So at least the Giants are saying publicly that they are out on him. So we'll see if that actually comes to fruition, but that is what the talk is at the moment.
Here's the question I have. Francisco Lariano, who was a free agent, agreed to stay in Pittsburgh for 3 years at $39 million. John Lester's reported deal is going to be worth maybe $1 million more than that. I know it's going to be longer than a three-year deal, but when you look at those two pitchers, is Lester seriously that much better than Lariano?
Well, I can see how people looking at this past year would say that there isn't that much of a difference. But if you look over the body of the both pitchers' careers, you'll see that Lariano, it's hard for him to get to 200 innings. He's a guy that has been really good when he's good, but also very inconsistent. And Lester, although this was definitely a career year for him as far as the regular season goes, has been much more dependable, and year in and year out has put up numbers that are maybe not worth $150 million, but when you add in his postseason resume, which is really good, you can see why a lack of injuries for the most part, Lariano can't really do that. So is he worth that much more than Lester? Maybe not, but when you put a body of work together like Lester has, that's how the free agent market's going to go. I just don't think that Liriano's full record is on par with Lester. So I guess I would have to disagree or say no to the question. Lester's definitely better pitcher.
Dave Brown from Fangraphs.com joins us. According to reports, Dave, the White Sox and David Robertson are closing in on a four-year deal worth $46 million. Is this a bit of an overpayment by the White Sox to land a closer?
I think the overpayment is a four-year deal. It's hard for relief pitchers are so fickle, and as far as being inconsistent, obviously, if you're a frontline relief pitcher, you're going to get at least a 3 or 4 year deal. So I think the overpayment isn't so much the money, but it's the year. So the White Sox just kind of have to cross their fingers that Robertson, when he comes to them, is a guy that's going to put 4 years together in a row. And it's something that a lot of relief pitchers don't do. I don't know if it's most or just a simple majority or a decent amount, but relief pitching is definitely the most inconsistent thing in baseball. So that's the overpayment, the bad part with Robertson. But the good part is Robin Ventura has a little bit of peace of mind, and the starting pitchers have peace of mind because the back of the bullpen last year for the White Sox was a disaster. So, maybe a White Sox fan could say, I'd rather put, $150 million or whatever into Max Scherzer, and maybe that would be a better deal. But still, there are a lot of advantages to having David Robertson around. So we overpay for that a little bit.
Dave, the Yankees replaced David Robertson with Andrew Miller. Speaking of overpayments, is Andrew Miller capable of replacing Robertson for that ninth inning for the Yankees?
I think so, but it's funny. I talked about the inconsistent career of Francisco Lariano, and up until this season, Andrew Miller had not put it together like he did last year. And last year, he was pretty much the best relief pitcher in baseball, not counting the save statistic anyway, which is always misleading. He's a guy that can get, based on last year, get lefties and righties out just as well. If Dylan Betances is not, Betances might have been one of the top five relief pitchers too. So, that's a heck of a way for the Yankees to be in position here at the end of games. They still need, they're still going to be looking at Max Scherzer, and you probably want to ask about him too. And Scherzer's probably going to be a guy that they're going to be in on. But as far as the end of the games, the Yankees are going to be in great shape.
Dave Brown from Fangraphs.com joins us. Sticking north, or let's go north of the border now. Dave, what have you thought of the few moves the Blue Jays have made in the offseason?
You know, I've liked Alex Anthopoulos' moves in recent offseasons. Last year was kind of slow, but other times when he's made moves like this, you know, I've been supportive of him. And they've worked out to a degree, but obviously not to the degree that everybody had hoped. They're definitely in a position to contend. It might be tight for them going forward, adding any more money, but, it would be nice if they could, maybe add another piece here or there. But I think they're definitely close. I think the thing about the Blue Jays is, if Drew Hutchinson has a breakout kind of season and is an elite pitcher or something, maybe a second-tier starting pitcher, that's really going to help them. Things like that. And getting Josh Donaldson, they were kind of waiting for Brett Laurie to, kind of flower at third base. And, he made some spectacular plays and had some great moments. But Donaldson is definitely a player that is going to help them win now. So I think they are much closer and definitely in position where they can go to the playoffs.
Speaking of pitching, of course, the Jays' closer position wasn't great last year. I'm not sure if Casey Janssens is coming back. Sounds like the Dodgers maybe. What about Francisco Rodriguez, K-Rod? Do you think the Jays have any interest in him? And do you think they have any interest in the what some people would say is maybe the best infielder on the market out of the Orioles, Jed Lowrie?
Yeah, I've heard kind of the same rumors that other people have, that those guys might be pieces that fit with what the Jays are trying to do. At the same time, the hitters market is very weak in free agency. So I'm not sure if Anthopoulos thinks he's in position to maybe make another trade or two, but I think that's probably where most of the teams are going to make a big splash. In free agency, there are a select few. We still have Scherzer to decide where he's going, but there aren't that many offensive pieces that are worth overspending for. And although if you look at the trade market, it's been hard now for Atlanta to move Justin Upton. They've been trying to, and they've moved to Hayward, and there are other players like that. So it's kind of things are sort of stuck right now, and we're sort of waiting for the dominoes to fall financially to see where all the pieces are going to fit. But those are two guys that definitely would help them for sure.
Dave Brown from Fangraphs.com joins us. Dave, out of some of the teams that were on the outside looking in last year in regards to the playoffs, which team has improved themselves the most in the offseason? You think they could maybe make a splash in 2015?
Yeah, of course it's still early, but if you look at what the White Sox have a pretty tough road with two teams that made the playoffs in the AL Central, but you're still looking at the Tigers and the Royals, who are coming off, 90, 89 win season, somewhere around there. So, with the White Sox adding Robertson in the bullpen, although it isn't official yet, it's expected to be, in Samardzija, they're still in a position where they need to add maybe someone at third base or second base, left field. So they still have some holes. But I think they've made the biggest splash so far, and figure that they won 73 games last year, and asking them to add 15 or 20 wins in one offseason is a lot. But at the same time, I think it's possible that they're if there's a offseason champion so far, it's them.
Do you
for whatever it's worth.
Sorry, do you see Melky Cabrera going anywhere, or is he going to go back to Toronto?
Well, Chicago is one place where he might go. The White Sox definitely need another left-handed bat in left field, but. Honestly, I think it's just a matter of are the Jays going to be willing to meet the price? And, do they think that the Melky of last year is, going to be, kind of the production that they're going to get going forward? The year before, of course, was injury plagued, but, I'm not sure, but I think it would behoove the Jays to bring him back based on what he did last year. I think they have made lots of advances, but, getting Melky back in left field definitely would help them towards winning the AL East for sure.
Let's say they don't get Cabrera. Who's the next best option in free agency to replace him? Like, I'm assuming, and I'm not including Colby Rasmus because I don't think there's any chance he's coming back.
I kind of wait, you know, like everyone else, I sort of waited for Colby Rasmus to come through every year too, and it just hasn't necessarily happened. I mean, the next best option in free agency, I'm not sure that a guy that is, you know, the Dodgers have a surplus of outfielders, and they're having trouble trading Matt Kemp. There's reports that, you know, they're unable to come to any kind of agreement, but they have a guy like Carl Crawford and a guy like Andre Ethier definitely would be good in, you know, Toronto's outfield to play left field. So, of course, you know, what comes into that is how much cash are you going to give to balance that out, because those guys are, you know, I think that is the way that the Jays probably are going to go if they don't get Melky. They're going to look for the trade market, maybe give up a life prospect and take a contract off the Dodgers' hands or someone like that. So I think I would look for the Jays to do something along those lines.
Dave, we appreciate your time. Lots of wheeling and dealing to come. Of course, it seems once Scherzer and Lester are gone, big tickets, then everybody else will start falling in line financially, and it'll be interesting to see what happens. Appreciate your time.
Okay, appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.